Today, I'm preaching on ready to stay on mission. And, you know, the Lord made it abundantly clear some things as I continue to study this week, how this might be our first Palm Sunday at the Direta campus. But as I think about our new expression, our new assignment, what that might look like. And today, I just got to tell you, this is the biggest crowd that we've had since we left our last location. I was getting a little discouraged, church. I'm going to tell you, man, everybody was high-fiving. It was great. We got here. Everybody's been sick and traveling and all that. And today, man, it's great. And we have so many today that still want to be here, and they're on the road. They're out of town. Nancy's sick. And matter of fact, Nancy's the reason we're doing the covered dish, man. She was like, I love covered dishes. And then she got sick. Can you believe that? Not like she had any choice. But be praying for Nancy. She got a diagnosis again that she's going to have some surgery. I don't know. Hopefully they'll do it Thursday. But hopefully the sickness won't delay that. But be praying. Just write on your teaching guide. Pray for Nancy, my friend, this week. Pray for her Thursday. But today, as I look at that, I think about the Via Della Rosa. I think about the love of Christ. And because of that, he makes a way for us to come into the very presence of God. That's what I love about communion. It's a remembrance that we remember why we come and why we're able to come, because God achieved so much at Calvary for you and me. So he opens up a way through the resurrection, which we'll celebrate next weekend in an awesome way. I'm going to start it this way today as I think about staying on mission. In the 1860s, slavery was great in America. And there is a picture by Henry Henrich that is just outside the Oval Office, and it's this great painting. You can Google it sometime, and it's these people with different expressions, because at the end of after the war, and there was some time after that, they still didn't know it was all over, that the Union soldiers, their job was to go and to express great gratitude, but to express their heart that they were free, because some two and a half years later, and in the end, there were 250,000 still captive to slavery. They realized that, hey, this thing's been the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. It had already happened, but they were just held in bondage. So can you imagine knowing that you'd been set free, but you didn't know you were free, and then you finally got some good news from your enemies that you were free? Would that cause reason to give some praise? Yes. Well, you know what? That's pretty cool, but how about let's do that times affinity and talk about what Jesus did for us at the cross of Calvary, because we were so enslaved to our sin. We were in bondage, the Bible says. And Jesus comes and gives us life as a ransom and dies this awesome, torturous death for us, as some criminal would. And he wasn't a criminal. He was absolutely perfect. And he gives us life that we might live forever. And because of that life and resurrection, we're set free forever. We got to tell somebody. Do y'all know people walking around in bondage? I do. We all do. We have stories of when we were in bondage and Christ broke the chains and he set us free. And we celebrate that in a great way next weekend. But you got to think on this side of Palm Sunday and the way of suffering, the ones that were singing, Jesus, you're the greatest, praise in the highest, Hosanna. And then some of the very same people, crucify him, crucify him. And they nailed him to a cross. So to get the good news of Easter, well, let me say it this way. That's why I preach about sin as much as I do, because you can't appreciate grace unless you know how wretched and wicked we are in our sin, and the church said. And then you go, I need some good news. So those slaves that had been held in bondage, can you imagine what happened in their very hearts and their lives and their soul when they found out they were free? Well, how about when we come to Jesus? I remember it like yesterday when he set me free on my college campus. And you've got your testimony of how Christ set you free and he sets the captives free. And what a great story of grace. So here it is. Just throw it up here. You can't really see it, the Emancipation Proclamation. There it is. How many can read that? If you can read that, you've got the best eyesight in America. I mean, look at that. But I can kind of make out proclamation because of the clarity of these new screens we put up. It is pretty good for that, but go Google it yourself, that great. But you know what it is? Just write down the word. Life-altering news is what Jesus brings. The life that Jesus gives us in himself will set you free forever. And those that the Son sets free, are free indeed. That's what the scripture says. So I love that. There's a passage here today that we'll look at. I want you to turn over to Gospel of Mark. I've walked an exegetical study all the way through every verse, every chapter in Mark a couple years ago. You can go on podcasts. You can go back and listen to those if you want to. But I'm going to zero in on a couple of verses, and I'm going to build a case today on this. Mark 1, 14, and 15. And in the NKJV, that's the New King James Version, it goes, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and what? And believe in this gospel.'" That's what Jesus said. He sums it down, if you will, to three words for you and me. I mean, I go, oh my goodness, like, how many of you like things simple? You want to understand it? You know what I call it? It's having the cookie on the lowest shelf and you can get some. I've had a lot of cookies. I know a lot about cookies. You know what I'm saying? How many know about cookies? And if you put them on a high shelf, I'll find a way to get them. But they're on the low shelf. And you know what? I've got grandkids. And their parents are so good, and they try to make them eat so clean. And they do. They do a great job. And Pop tries to abide by the rules, don't Adonna? Sometimes. And sometimes we go, it's your Pop. You can have a little bit. But I don't want to really go against their mom and dad's wishes, because that wouldn't be good. And I want to have a great relationship with my grandkids, okay? I don't want to sugar them all up. Matter of fact, my wife's going to be very proud. Donna, this morning, you don't know, they were back there. You know, I've never walked into a service in years that we've had a feast on the table. We had the Lord's feast. I was so excited about the spiritual hunger. And I looked back there and I went, oh, glory. And I was walking by, and then I walked by the brownies. I did not have a sample. I walked by some other. I did not have anything. I just looked. I said, we're going to have an outstanding meal when I finish preaching at 1 o'clock today. I lied. And then Ken, my brother from Greenville, comes in, and he had this box, and then he had one in his mouth, and it was sugar just running down his face. I could just feel it. And what he didn't know is he pointed and goes, "Pastor, Donna, I did not. God is my witness. I went over to Michelle and I said, 'Satan, get thee behind me.'" I'm not calling Michelle Satan, but I was talking about that sugar box. Oh, I wanted one, but had I got one, woo, we'd have been chasing squirrels all day, and we'd have never got to the table. Now, I've been told if George don't get here with a chicken, I got to go a little bit longer. But you see, I've already seen there's enough stuff back there for me to get started eating with my friends. Okay, all right, but chicken's coming. You know we're going to have the gospel bird today? Fried chicken. Okay, all right. So here it is. So Jesus uses some words here. He gets us to refocus. And I want you to look at it. It's in three words. Look at it. Right there in a little box on your teaching guide. Jesus' message from day one summarized in three words. I want you to write down the word. This is going to be it's going to come up on the screens. Gospel, kingdom, and repent. Repeat those with me. Gospel, kingdom, repent. That's what Jesus really summarizes his message, that this is what the kingdom's about. This is important to being a Christian. You can't become a Christian without repentance. I have to tell people that all the time. They're going, "I just want to live any way I want to. I'm just going to get some fire insurance." Brother, you hadn't come by the way of the Via Del Rosa. You have not come by the way of the cross. You come through repentance, through faith in the Lord Jesus, that you're saved by grace alone. And the church said, that's good news. But I want you to see this. In the Bible, you'd write this down. This is interesting. The word salvation is used 10 times. The word church is used over and over, but you'll at least see it 3 times here. And the word Taylor Swift is used 0 times. Good. Yeah, good. There you go. The word kingdom is used 100 times. That's awesome. The word gospel is referred to at least 70 times. And the word repent, 47 times. In the Greek, it's just a simple word, metanoia. It means to change your mind, change your attitude, change your behavior. But in the Hebrew, it's the word S-H-U-V, shove. And you know what it means? Turn around. Go a different way. See, when you come and place your faith in Christ, you turn from your sin, you turn from your error of your way and you turn to the living Christ and you cross over the bridge of life from death to life in the Son, and those whom have the Son have life indeed. That's the good news of grace. That's the gospel. So, Lord, you know, people ask me all the time, what's the gospel? They go, it's the four books. It's the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, those are gospels that are written to us. And then you'll say, well, it's this. You know what the gospel is? It's a relationship with the living Christ. We believe on Him. We believe. We trust in Jesus. Not Jesus plus baptism, not Jesus plus church membership, not Jesus plus good deeds, not Jesus plus teaching a Bible study, not Jesus plus singing, not Jesus plus feeding the homeless, not Jesus plus doing good things. It's Jesus plus Jesus equals Jesus. He's enough. He's sufficient. This Messiah that had come, you know, when they said He was going to come, they thought, man, we're going to have a military king. That's who's coming. A political power that's going to take over, because they couldn't stand Rome because they'd been held in captivity by Rome. And you know, and all the spears in the Roman country had occupied. Rome was known for mass killing, enslavement, violence, political goals, taking over, atrocities. They weren't a very nice people. So when Jesus came, they said, ah, the Messiah has come. He will outmuscle Rome. He will love all humanity. He loves sinners. Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners? I am. That's where He found me, deep in sin. I still sin, and you sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's faithful and forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know, they tell me in some of my readings, they said when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls and only backed up what we knew was Holy Scripture, they said they found some old sermons during that day. And I thought this was interesting. And some of them said this. The sermons talked very graphically about Gentiles being brutalized and horrible carnage and on. It was very tough. And then it comes down to when they would begin to talk about the good news, the gospel news of Jesus. So I think today, you'll see in a minute, I'm going to set a lot of this up, but the Greek term for kingdom is used like 162 times here in the New Testament, and it refers on and on to the kingdom of God. As Christ followers, we're called kingdom people, to be kingdom-minded, to follow after this awesome King. And so sometimes God's kingdom is mysterious. Sometimes God's kingdom is a little hard to understand. Sometimes God's kingdom is a little hard to express in words, because our words seem to be very finite. If somebody asks you today, talk to me about God's kingdom, some of you could just take off and start quoting scriptures and share stuff, and that'd be awesome. And some would go, I don't know, I want to be a part of it. I know it has to do with the Father. I know it's good. I know it's holy. I know we want to be found in His kingdom, not in the kingdom of this world. How many of you know what it's like to be in the kingdom of this world? And what does it do for you? It takes you down every time. This kingdom always fails. We set up little kingdoms, but there's one King with a capital K, and His name is Jesus. And He's come to take over. He's come to be the monarch, if you will. Here it is, kingdom. I want you to write down this. I want you to always remember this. What does kingdom mean? It means this primarily. It means the rule and the reign of a king. The kingdom is the rule and the reign of the Almighty King Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to be Lord and Master and King and rule on the throne of my life, my heart, my being, my whatever I build. Jesus wants to come and take over. I love that. I wish Sandy was here today. I just thought of this as I was talking about King and taking over. Keith Kilgore was her husband. He was a great lover of Jesus and chaired our missions here and sang on the worship team for years. And Keith and Sandy had a corporation. It was, I think it was JKS, wasn't it? Something like that. You know what that was for? Jesus, Keith, and Sandy. Jesus has come to take kingship of this. And he was a tool man. He had a tool truck. He had the coolest truck. And if you'd ever go on there, he had Christian radio playing on there. He was always talking about his faith in Jesus. He says, and I remember when he first told me, I first met him, he goes, Keith, this is not mine and Sandy's business. This is God's. this business, this is Jesus Enterprises. I went, man, that's a rule. That's a kingdom business, okay? So the eternal kingdom of Christ, it transcends time and space. It's over all things. Let me give you a couple of verses here I think are good. Luke 17, 20 through 21, write them down. It'll come up on the screen if you want to read those. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God, listen to this, the kingdom of God is not out there. The kingdom of God is in here. That's where God's kingdom takes reign and rule, and he takes over, and where it wants to dwell, and it occupies forever and ever. So God, we want your kingdom within us, that we could be kingdom-minded citizens of heaven. And when he takes over and it's his kingdom, we now look at our possessions, we look at our resources, we look at our relationships, we look at our home, we look at our trinkets, our toys, we look at our talents, we look at our gifts as all a gift from the Father to be deployed in his use to bring the King glory. But if we don't do that, then we go, it's my kingdom. Yeah, I mean, you know people, maybe you're there, maybe you've been there where you're trying to build your kingdom, and it's never very attractive. Luke 13, 18 through 19, it'll come up. It's a great scripture. And then he said, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It's like a mustard seed, which a man can look and put in his garden. And when it grew and it became a large tree, and the birds of the air, they rested in its branches. I want you to see this next slide. You know what that is? What is that right there? You know what? That's exactly what I was thinking. Robin's so spiritual, Robin said, that's hay fever. That looks like Alabama ragweed, don't it, Lenore? And if I'd have been on my game, I would have had the next slide would have been Claritin or some kind of. But no, that is not Alabama ragweed. That's mustard. That's mustard flowers growing in Israel, rampant, that would grow to be trees and branches. Aren't they beautiful? Some of you are like, Lord, forgive me when I used to curse all that ragweed. Well, ragweed is not mustard flowers, but that's, you know, I guess you got to be from Alabama to know what that looks like. I know when I put it up, I said, man, they're going to think it's ragweed. No. How many of you right now just want to sneeze? Just take the person's shirt next to you, put your nose in there, and we'll keep going. Okay, all right. So mustard flowers. Matthew 13, 33, Jesus used the illustration, the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she puts a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. What happens when you get a little yeast? What does it do when it's done? It's just a little bitty thing of bread. No, it's not. Big, beautiful. How many of you are, wait a minute. Hey, today we can use our sensory and just smell back there. How many of you smell that food? Yeah, I know I can already feel the spiritual warfare coming against my soul today. Finish, preacher. Land this plane, quick. George ain't come in yet, so just hold on, okay? I'm still preaching. I got you bunch of silly people. All right, here we go. So good news, life-altering news. That's the history of the gospel. So this kingdom, what do you do with it? You radiate it. You let King Jesus reign and rule in your heart, and you ask him to reflect his life through you, and you ask Jesus to radiate in your life every day. I love Christ followers that say, Jesus, I want my life to be about you. I want to point to you. I want to radiate you, Jesus. I want people, if they forget my name, that's fine. I want them to remember the King that I talked about, that I witnessed about, the one that saved my soul, the one that changed my life, the one that forgave my sin, the God that gave me purpose, the God that gives me peace, the God that gives me strength. And I could go on and on and on. So I go, Lord, you give hope, you give possibility. Lord, it's never too late for somebody to run to the Father. Just keep remembering that. It's never too late for somebody to stop, repent, and run to the Father. We can take it to him anytime. Walk in humility with him. The good news, the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe this gospel. Believe this good news. Man, it is good news. So let me give you some points here. If you flip over to the back. Can you turn over to the back of your teaching guide? Got plenty of room there. I love this. In Mark 10:15, I got to give you this verse. It's on your outline, but I'm going to give it to you. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never end it. Will never enter it. We've got to receive the gospel as a child in simple childlike trust in faith. And then we begin to grow in Christ. I love how kids teach us so many lessons if we'll just watch them. But look, here it is. How to stay on mission with passion. Number one, start each day not with the bad news, but with the good news. Start it not with the bad news. Let me tell you something that reset my life through COVID. During COVID, I was fighting some depression like other people. Most people just didn't know it. And because I was missing people, I was missing crowds, I was hating what it did to our church, on and on and on. And I watched the news, and I started watching more news. And I got so saturated in the news, I got defeated. And I said, you know, I got to change the narrative here. And I started watching a lot less news and more selective news. And I find out, and I'm not saying don't be informed. I've given you different sites, and I want you to know what's going on. I'm not saying being a dummy. But I'm telling you, if your goal in life is to watch CNN or watch Fox News or watch NBC, CBS, ABC, just give them a number. I don't care who they are. If you watch it all day long, you're going to be one negative, toxic person, and it's going to take over. You can't watch bad. I read a study. It says 3 minutes of negative news can rearrange your day if you're not careful. Amen. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you turn on. They don't turn on WSFA and go, "The good news brought to you by Channel 12. Yeah. Well, I like when we get a good, happy report, but a lot of times we get negative news and killings and murders and all the craziness going on. And you watch enough negativity, it resets you. But you know what? God says, I don't want you to focus on the bad news. I want you to focus on the good news. And right above the word good news, write the word gospel. With God's gospel, with God's good news. I love this word. I'm like, Lord, that's what I need. I need, because, you know, used to, I remember my dad. My dad was, when he got up in the morning, he got that coffee pot going, and the first thing he did, he went out to the front yard and he picked up the paper. He read that thing cover to cover, and when I would come in, he'd be in the sports page. I'd go, Dad, did I make it? Usually not. And I said, and then he always did this. I thought it was so weird. He always read the obituaries every day. I say, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading to see if my name's in here. I said, oh, man. I said, and you know, and over time, and now we don't, I mean, very few, how many in this room even read a paper today? Raise your hand. I knew it. I knew Mark would be the only one in the room. Now, does that mean Mark is the only smart one here and the rest of us are illiterate? I hope not. How do you get your news?
TV.
TV.
Facebook.
Telephone. Social media. I mean, there's so many, you know, you got an app for that, and you go there and you see what's going on and on and on. And so we get there, but we just have to be careful about how much that we take in, because it does begin, that strife can fill us. Oh, here it is. Individuals who watch just 3 minutes of negative news in the morning had a whopping 27% greater likelihood of reporting their day was unhappy 6 to 8 hours later. And you're saying, I've been blaming it on coffee. I didn't have my coffee. Quit giving coffee so much credit. Jesus is the king. It's not King Coffee, okay? All right, so don't glance at the negative so much. Give Jesus. Right, number two, now this is a great one. Stay astonished with his grace. I started looking at that word in the scriptures, how many times it's there, and the context of it. Man, I got so excited about the astonishing grace of God. And then I thought about the very first missionaries. You know who the first missionaries were in the gospel? The shepherds, the lowly people. And God used them in powerful ways to proclaim Christ. And it says the people were astonished. They were astonished that God would use shepherds. They were astonished about the story that the shepherds told. Can I tell you something that I learned a long time ago? People were astonished when I got saved and started talking about Jesus. People were astonished when I became a pastor. People are astonished about you and your testimony. If you live for the devil a lot in your life, people were astonished, friend. I'm just going to go ahead and remind you. But then I just thought about it. Astonished. The disciples were astonished. The crowds were astonished about Jesus, the miracle worker. He healed people. He touched the leper. He raised the dead. They were astonished. And then a question just came to me. Have you and I lost the ability to be astonished when it comes to our God? That we're in awe of Him. God. God, we want to be astonished with who you are. Here's the question. I want you to write it down. This is a good question. I wrote this down. Where does Jesus astonish and amaze you? Where? Where? That's for you to have reflection. And I'm just going, so I wrote down 16 for me real quick. I was just like, man, I'm going to give them mine, and I just want you to think about yours. Here they are. Your love, presence, compassion, your faithfulness, your power to heal, forgiveness, confidence, strength, encouragement, rest, hope, peace, His church, missions, changed lives, my family, leadership. Is anybody being encouraged by those? I'm astonished when I look at the goodness of God. Have you looked at His face lately? Did you look at Him at the table today when you went to His table of invitation? So, Lord, we are grateful. Albert Einstein said, instead of being a successful man, seek to be a man of value. The rest will come naturally. Don't focus on what astonishes. Focus on what transforms. I like that. Jesus, You transform people. You transform my heart. You transform lives. Lord, we want to look to You. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to repeat that story again and again, that, Lord, we're astonished in Your presence. We're amazed at when You're at work in our lives, in our friends, in our world, in our midst, wherever we find ourselves. We want to be astonished. Look at third quick. I got to get there. See myself as a kingdom ambassador. A kingdom ambassador, whether at home, your workspace. May the values of the kingdom be emulated and expressed through your life. And I want to give you a verse quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 20. About seeing yourself as a kingdom ambassador. Here it is. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's gospel. Reconciling others as we proclaim Christ, that He makes us right with a holy God. That's amazing. As Christ followers, I get excited about this passion. And so we need to create margin in our life to live on mission. Sometimes if we just create a little margin, we're not so upset, because did y'all know interruptions are going to come your way? And if you're always, I ain't got time for an interruption, God. Oh, God don't really care. And He's going to bring that interruption. And that interruption could bring spiritual fruit. It could bring spiritual growth. So, God, interrupt me when You see fit. Now, I want to lead to this real quick. Oh, let me show you this video real quick. Show me this video, our mission. This is what God's called us to do. Yeah, man, that's a sermon. Somebody, why didn't you just show that video? That was awesome. That's what God wants us to do. And I want to close it this way today. Because, hey, did chicken show up?
Not yet. Keep preaching.
I'll keep preaching then. I got some. Hey, I got another hour worth of material. Y'all just hang on. Wait, no, George. George's fault. Okay. No, it's not George. George, we love you. Bless you. Okay, here it is. I thought about our mission and about being kingdom ambassadors. And the Lord really started just showing me clearly, and I feel like I need to share this with you. So write, you got some room there, maybe write this down. And God just showed me, church, this isn't Keith, this is church. This is the body of Christ. This is the table at Christ Community Church now. I want you to write down this word, these words. Dalreda is our new assignment. We are positioned in this community to make a difference for Christ. It's from here to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth, to the nations. But in this area, God has positioned us in a church at Dalreda to make Dalreda our focus. So I just started saying, God, what does that look like? What can we do? God, how can we fill this place up with your people? There are so many people out here that are lost and destitute, and they're depressed, and they're discouraged, and they have no hope, and we have the answer in here. And I'm like, God, they're all around us. Show me and my friends. So I want y'all to be praying fervently. God, what do you want us to do? So I wrote down some areas. I just want you to write these down and begin to pray. And let's see. And I'm believing, church, God has called us to a lot more than potluck dinners and gather and worship and just let me teach every week. I think God's got more for the church of Christ. How many believe that? Here's the first one. Maybe we should go to the school. And I want to tell you, I've already done that. When I got here 2 years ago, I went over and met with the principal of Dalreda. I went there the first 7 years of school. No, I only went six. Okay. That was supposed to be a joke. Okay. But I went to school, and I offered him emotional and spiritual support and counseling if needed, if there was a need or something in that school. Matter of fact, I took Pastor Mike. I said, Mike, let's go over here together. And we went over there, and we shared and made ourselves available if they had a hard time. Because you see, in that school, when I was in third grade, my mom was killed, and I was the first one that ever had a death in that school of a parent. And we didn't have grief counselors and stuff. And I said, you know, one thing I can do is I can make myself available as a spiritual leader to this community if they need help. And the church said, well, that's good. All right, here's B. Maybe a local food op or food pantry or working with the homeless. I think Pat would probably get down with that. Yeah, here. See, here the army of Pat back there. Here, see, inviting neighbors maybe to a Sunday lunch. Like today, we're doing it for us, the insiders, but maybe our next potluck, what if somehow we got the word out and we begin to meet people and really bridge people all through here? Because we have several great families in our church that live right here, and we begin to invite people to our next potluck that they might hear about Jesus and eat with us. And say, man, you Christians sure do like to eat. Okay, all right. The other thing is offer the facility to nonprofit organizations. They already do that, and we've just spent all kind of money to enhance this room. Do you know they have neighborhood meetings and all kind of things in this room? That's one thing we can do to get people inside here that they might consider being comfortable and come back on a Sunday. And the church said, pretty cool. Here's one. Bob, you and Michelle, Don, you and Melinda that live in Dalreda and others that might move there, or we have our community, maybe interview residents in the community and ask them, what are your challenges, your longings, your dreams? How can we as a church make a difference? Somebody's like, man, that's getting too personal, Pastor. Here's another one, getting to know your public officials. Well, I hate to tell you, I went to school with most of them over here. I did. Ed Grimes, Julie Turner Beard, Glenn Pruitt was in our youth ministry. Oh, no, no, I go down to city council and we have relationships with them. And they've been here. Maybe we could figure out how we could do stuff. Here's another one, planned bridge events. This is one I've been praying about since I knew we were coming to Dalreda. And I want y'all to see what it could look like. Maybe a health fair. Maybe us. I was thinking about calling my friend Matt Phillips. That we support Life on Wheels. We love First Life. I mean, First Life's a good name, but it's First Choice. And maybe having the bus here, but also having health screens and all kind of things. And maybe we could provide something to the residents in this community that somehow we would get them on campus here. They'd hear the good news about Jesus. And the church said, here's another one. This is one I've always loved. We've done it. And I thought, God, we got to do it this next year. We did it. We kind of haphazardly. We've done it really well. Last year we didn't. Bob has taken up this mantle. Bob, bless you, and Jim Massey, since you run that place. Collecting coat and sweater drive. Not right now. You're saying, Pastor, it's almost over. Like, maybe you could gather some allergy medicine. Well, you could do that. But anyway, a coat and sweater drive. Oh, no, no. Here's the thing is, we are the Union soldiers, if you will. They told that they'd been set free. We need to tell somebody they've been set free from sin and they can be free in Christ. Those are just some of the ideas that I wrote down here that God, maybe some way you could help me and my friends be more faithful ambassadors for Christ to implore others that they might come to Him, because our church somehow gets out of the walls of this beautiful room. Y'all have not heard me say beautiful in a long time, have you? The place we left was not beautiful. It was highly functional, it was great, but it was dirty. This place, I can actually look up and I go, glory to God, this is awesome. But let me tell you, if all we're doing is keeping God inside these walls, we have missed the mission of Christ. I'm looking forward to the day they go, Pastor, y'all need 100 chairs set up? Pastor, y'all need 150? No, we're going to 2 services next weekend. I don't know, church. It's up to us together to figure it out. And with this many people, we ought to be able to do something more than just have potluck dinners. So let's think about it.